This is the BBC Light Programme. We present Tony Hancock, Bill Kerr, Sidney James, Andre Melle and Kenneth Williams in...
Hancock's Half Hour.
Coffee, Tony. Tony. More coffee. Tony. Pass me the scissors, Bill.
Yeah.
Now then, Tony, do you want any more coffee?
I don't think that was very funny, Andre, cutting a big hole in me newspaper. You've ruined me strip cartoon. Look at it. Pip, Squeak and no Wilfred.
It's your own fault. You shouldn't read newspapers at the breakfast table.
Yeah, all we see of you is a podgy hand come creeping from behind the paper feeling for the butter.
That's another thing. Yesterday morning you guided me hand into the electric toaster, didn't you?
Why? It jumped out when it was done. What's the matter with you?
Well, it wasn't till I spread the marmalade on it and took a bite out of me thumb that I realised what had happened.
That shows you how engrossed you get in your papers. Every morning it's the same. We might as well not be here for all the notice you take of us.
I've got to read me newspapers. I must keep up with what's going on in the world. The lads down at the Home Guard drill hall expect it. I'm the recognised political authority down there. Not an elbow is bent at the bar till I've given my interpretation of the day's international news. Not a thing happens without they ask me what significance it would appear to have on current trends. I've got quite a reputation. The Bob Boothby of the 4L bar, they call me. Of course, now, what with me having gone on a diet and with me spectacles and not having had a haircut for a few months, I have heard the name Michael Foot bandied about. But, of course, that was only in the public bar.
Well, I didn't know you were this much of an authority.
What? Have you never heard of the Hancock plan for the reunification of East and West Germany and the demilitarization of the Saar, both of which me and me shadow cabinet sent to Whitehall?
And what's happened?
Both plans were adopted. Of course, I didn't get any credit for it. Oh, no. That bloke Eden pinched it, said it was his idea. But the Home Guard lads knew where it came from. I was on free beer for a month after that lot. Same as the International Inspection and Supervision of Atomic Stockpiles. Eisenhower. Me. Do you know, they started a collection at the Dog and Duck to send me to Geneva. But when it got round to about 14 in 6, it was Annie's birthday, so they decided to have a booze up instead. Anyway, now you know why I've got to analyse me newspapers. Would do you two good to read them occasionally as well.
All right.
Come on, Brain Box, you tell me. What do you know about politics? What do you know about foreign relations?
I've got an Annie living in Golders Green.
See? No idea. Never reads the papers.
I do read the papers.
Read the papers. You skim through them, and if there's no side view of Sabrina, and no special reporter exposing the vice syndicates of London, that's it. You're finished. I've seen you jotting down the names of the clubs so you can visit them. There are other things in a newspaper, you know. Look at the front page. Important world news. Where are we? Headlines. Our special reporter exposes a vice syndicate. Oh. Well, page 2. Always news on page 2 affecting the peace and security of the country. There. Side view of Sabrina. Well, page 3. Oh, strip cartoons. Page 4, women's page. 5, secret love sect in Gloucestershire. 6, oh yes, Aunt Phoebe. 7, 8 and 9, adverts, of course. 10 and 11, sport. That leaves the back page. The whole back page devoted to... Yes, vicar runs off with village postmistress.
Oh, boy, I'd love to hear what Boothby and Foot have to say about that.
There must be some world news somewhere, important events that will reshape our destiny. I mean, through our newspapers, we're the most informed nation in the world. Oh, yes, of course, here we are. World news. Sandwiched in between the weather forecast and the Greyhound results. Let's see now. News from Lake Success.
What does it say?
Anita Ekberg was seen in the public gallery wearing a daring low-cut gown. Molotov accuses West of hypocrisy. West accuses Russia of being hypocritical. At 4 o'clock, the entire British delegation got up and walked out.
Why?
It was tea time. Oh, dear, same old stuff. Always rowing. They accuse us, we accuse them. Every day you pick up the paper, it's the same. Why can't they get on with each other?
I wouldn't worry yourself about it, Tony.
But I do worry. There's no need for it. The ordinary people get on all right together. It's all these professional diplomats. They're the trouble.
Well, I suppose you think you could do a better job than they could.
Yes, I could. I'm more in touch with the views of the man in the street than they are. Given the chance, and with my specialised knowledge of world affairs, I guarantee I could bring the East and the West closer together.
What are you going to do? Get Diana Dawes married off to Khrushchev or something?
That's it. Go on, scuff. I'd make a very good diplomat, I would.
Him? A diplomat? Oh, I knew it was a mistake letting him see that last Norman Wisdom picture.
I've been thinking about this for some time. I'm going to start a peace movement. Get the ordinary people on my side. Instill in them the desire for cooperation with other countries. Put my case before the public.
And how are you going to do that?
Get up on a box in Hyde Park. If I can get them to listen to me, I'm halfway home. Ladies and gentlemen, what we want in the world today is peace.
Communist.
Bullshit.
I'm not, I'm British.
Traitor.
Go back to Moscow.
What about Burgess and McLean?
Pop it.
Get off.
Shut up.
Lost it.
Ah, this looks a better spot, Tony. Go on, have another go.
Right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. What we want in the world today is peace.
American agent.
Yankee stew.
I'm not, I'm British.
Traitor.
Go back to Grosvenor Square.
What about Charlie Chaplin?
Puppet.
Yeah, get off.
Shut up.
Slossing.
Well, so much for the peace movement. Two black eyes, a cauliflower ear, and half me suit gone. The only successful movement about that lot was the quick belt up Oxford Street.
Oh, don't give up, Tony. There are other ways.
Yeah, why not broadcast to the people?
Oh, what's the good of that? They're all watching television.
All right, then, go on television.
No, they don't pay as much as radio. Stymied. No, we'll have to think of something else.
Well, let's see now. Well, one way they've been fostering goodwill is by exchange visits of cultural organisations. We've had the Russian dancers in London, and we've sent Hamlet to Moscow and the ballet.
Yes, of course. That's it. Culture. The Russians love culture. Well, that's settled then.
What?
We'll take Hancock's half out of Moscow. I can just see it. From Hamlet to Hancock.
That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard.
Why? If Hamlet can go to Moscow, so can Hancock's half hour. After all, there's not much difference.
That's true. They're both tragedies.
Don't you realise this could mean the beginning of a new series of exchange visits? We could have the Russian comedians coming to Britain. Cheerful Charlie Gorky. And we, Georgie Woodovich.
It won't work, Tony. What about the language? The audience won't know what you're talking about. They won't laugh at your jokes.
We've never let that worry us in the past. Besides, we'll have interpreters like they did in Hamlet. We do the show in English, and they translate it into Russian as we go along.
You know, I think it might sound better in Russian.
Exactly. I'm sure it'll be a great success. Laughter is universal. They laugh at the same things in Stalingrad as they do in Stockport.
And you know how they hate us in Stockport.
I will abide no more arguments. I have spoken. We shall do the next Hancock's half hour from the Bolshoi Theatre, Moscow. We'd better go round up the cast and get our passports seen to. Ring up Sid James. Tell him to get his fur hat on and meet us outside the Russian embassy. I wish Sid would hurry up. We've been standing here outside the embassy for 2 hours now. Naturally, they're getting suspicious. Every one of those curtains has moved since we've been here. And I'm getting fed up with that bloke in the big overcoat. He keeps coming out, putting his hands under my armpits and patting me all the way down.
It's all right, Tub. Here's Sid, just come around the corner.
Hello, boys.
About time, too. Where have you been?
I've been having my passport photograph seen to.
What's wrong with it?
I had to have the numbers taken off the bottom. What's all this caper about going to Russia anyway?
We are going as a sample of British culture.
What, me?
Well, you'll just have to pretend you're cultured. I don't know, get up and recite If or something. Now, come on, hurry up, we're late. Ring the doorbell.
Da, what is it?
Ah, me good Tavarich. My name is Tony Hancock.
What is it now?
It's all right, Boris, I'm here on business. Tell the Tsar Tony Hancock wishes to see him.
Comrade, there is no Tsar.
Nonsense. I spoke to one of his relatives only last year. Crown Prince Alexis Andreevich Ilyich Petrovsky Romanov. He was driving a taxi in Paris.
Comrade, we have not had a Tsar in Russia since 1917.
Then, my suite in the Royal Palace at St. Petersburg. Let...
Comrade, St. Petersburg is now called Leningrad, and the Royal Palace is now called the People's Palace.
Oh, yes, we've got one of them down the Mile End Road.
Comrade, will you please state your business?
Certainly. I and my small band of strolling clowns wish to travel to Moscow and entertain. Tumblers, minstrels, jesters. In one program, we offer a veritable feast of frolic and drollery, designed for the merriment of the simple villagers. Kindly arranged to have a droshky, a fresh team of horses, and a lantern waiting at the frontier. We will make the city gates by nightfall, inform the burgomaster of our intended arrival, that he may place at our disposal a suitable inn where we may refresh ourselves and change into clean linen after the tedium of our travels.
Get you.
You must forgive him, comrade. Tony's knowledge of modern Russia never got past page 48 of Anna Karenina.
Comrades, am I to understand that you wish to journey to the Soviet Union?
Is that on the way to Russia?
Sid, watch it. Don't be ignorant. That's an insult. Is it on the way to Russia, illiterate oaf? Nowhere near it.
Before you can go to Russia, comrades, there are many formalities to be attended to. Please step this way.
Very impressive, isn't it? All these beautiful portraits hanging on the wall. They've done them very lifelike, haven't they? They've even put movable eyes in them. Look. Here, jump backwards and forwards. Look, 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 watch them move. They're marvellous.
Very tastefully decorated, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I like that big case of concealed microphones standing on the table. Beautifully arranged.
This way, comrades.
Over here?
No, 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 this way. Can't you read? That's the missing diplomat's changing room.
In here, gentlemen. Now then, first of all, may I see your passport?
Here's mine.
Ah, yes. On behalf of Her Majesty's Britannic Government, this passport entitles the bearer to travel without let or hindrance, grant all aid and facilitate his movement. Signed, Benjamin Disraeli?
Yes, it was me grandfather's. It's been handed down. Well, it saves a few quid getting a new one.
Next, the bald-headed one.
I am not bald. I'm just a little thin.
All right, the thin bald-headed one. Your passport.
Well, I came over from Australia. I haven't actually got a passport, but I got the next best thing.
What?
A quarantine note from the customs at Tilbury.
Very well, next.
What?
Your passport.
Oh, here, take your pick. I've got 16 here. Pierre James, Baron Ludwig von James, Pedro James, Abdul Ben James.
I only want one.
Will you? Have me Chinese one. Fu Man James. That's got the best picture. It's a dead ringer of me if you take the pigtail off.
Where is your British passport?
Well, I've got one here, but the photograph doesn't look much like me.
Why not?
It's Ivy Benson's. But I'm having it seen to. I'll bring it in this afternoon.
Never mind, don't bother. Now, gentlemen, what is the precise object of your visit to Russia?
Well, we do a radio program every week called Hancock's Half Hour, and it's funny. Some weeks, not this week, but you can't keep it up all the time, can you? Anyway, as a gesture of goodwill, we thought it would be a nice idea to do our next broadcast from Moscow before a Russian audience.
I see. Well, tell me the sort of joke you will offer our Russian audiences.
Yes, certainly. Well, I'm standing at the microphone. This one curls me up, this one does. Laugh! You like this one. I'm standing at the microphone reciting Jake was a coward,
no,
a great
just a
big...
minute. This man Jake, he sounds like an American.
No, 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 not necessarily. It doesn't have to be Jake. We'll change it. Ivan was a coward, a great big coward...
Wait a minute, are you suggesting that the Russians are cowards?
No, 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 of course not. No offence. He doesn't have to be a coward. It doesn't really matter. Ivan was a hero, a great big fellow with a turned-up nose.
The Russians do not have turned-up noses.
Well, no, 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 I know they don't. It's a slip of the tongue. Ivan was a hero, a great big fellow with a turned-down nose.
Do I detect a note of anti-Semitism?
No, not a trace of it. I'll change it. It's no odds. The district commissar was a hero with the Order of Lenin hanging round his beautifully shaped nose.
Well, that's not very funny, is it?
But that's not the joke. That's just the monologue. I'm going to be interrupted here.
Good.
Yes. Well, my mate Bill, he's wearing a big red nose and boots. And he walks on and he says, I say, I say, I say... Why does the Kaiser wear red, white and blue braces?
The Kaiser, he is a German, isn't he?
Well, he doesn't have to be the Kaiser. Mr. Khrushchev. There you are. Why does Mr. Khrushchev wear red, white and blue braces?
He doesn't wear braces.
All right, then, it makes no difference. Why does Mr. Khrushchev wear a red, white and blue belt?
He doesn't wear a belt, he wears self-supporting trousers.
All right, then. Why does Mr. Khrushchev wear red, white and blue self-supporting trousers?
Why?
To keep his trousers up. No, that's not going to work, is it, that one? Oh, it doesn't matter. We know another one. Go on, Bill. Tell him your one. Paralyse him.
Oh, well, come on, and I say, I don't know why I'm smiling tonight. I've just had a letter from the undertaker. It says, Dear sir, if you don't pay the final instalment on your mother-in-law's funeral, up she comes.
Go on.
Well, that's it. Up she comes. Why did the chicken cross the road softly?
Because it couldn't walk hardly.
How do you stop a dog barking in July?
Shoot him in June.
It's all over the town hall.
What is?
On the roof. Last night, all the buses stopped in Manchester.
Why?
To let the people get off.
And that's our luck.
Can you play football?
Look, all we want to do is cement Anglo-Russian friendship.
So do I. You better not go.
But we've made up our minds. We're going to Russia.
Oh, very well. But you'll have to have visas.
Why? Are we going to do it in armour? Another one, and I just made that one up. We don't even have to take our script writers. That's 3 and 6 saved for a start.
There you are. Here are your passports, all stamped up. You can catch a plane tonight, change at Warsaw, and take a train to Moscow.
All that way by train?
Yes.
How well? It could be Warsaw. There you are, another gem. How can they afford him? Sponsored by the British Arts Council. What an investment. Half a dozen more like that and we'll end the Cold War.
Yes, and start a hot one. Get out.
And Dotsvi Danya to you, too.
Gee, so this is Moscow.
Yes, and you behave yourself. You've been flirting with these Russian girls ever since we crossed the border. It's got to stop. You'll get us into trouble.
Yeah, but I was...
The train was 2 hours late starting because of you. Standing behind those milk churns, necking, with that little blonde.
Yeah, how was I to know she was the engine driver? Anyway, you can talk. I heard you telling that track layer to look you up when she got to Moscow.
Yes, I'll never see her again. She was building a loop line to Leningrad. They're funny people, these Russians, aren't they?
Yeah. On that train were women crane drivers, bricklayers, chimney sweeps, road menders.
Yes, still, Andre was doing all right with that typist. Good-looking lad, wasn't he?
Hey, fellas. Oi, give us a hand with all this stuff, will you?
Sir, what have you got in those two big sacks?
Rubles.
Where did you get them from?
Well, there was half a dozen soldiers in my carriage playing cards. And do you know something?
What?
The Russians have never heard of the three-card trick. I've got another 4 sackfuls in the guards van.
Anything else?
Yeah. 3 uniforms, 2 balalaikas, a couple of samovars, and the mortgages on 3 collective farms. Here, these Russian cards. They aren't half funny.
Why?
Look, 7, 8, 9, 10, Stalin, Lenin, Marx.
Oh, well, come on, let's have a look around. Here, Porter. I say, Porter. You there, in the uniform.
Oh, you're talking to me, comrade?
Yes, we have 4 trunks and 16 suitcases to be carried out to the taxi rank. Bend down, I'll balance them on your head for you.
How dare you insult me? Me, a field marshal of the 14th Tank Brigade.
Oh, I do beg your pardon.
You are English, I take it?
Yes, how did you know?
Who else would walk about with pictures of the Wolverhampton Wanderers sewn round the brim of his hat? What are you doing in Russia, little fat brother?
We've come to do a broadcast.
Oh, which one?
Hancock's Half Hour.
Oh, Hancock's Half Hour.
Oh, you've heard of it?
Yes. In Russia, we are forced to listen to it. It is part of the new Wake the British campaign.
Oh, that is good. How's it going?
Any more programs like last week's and we're ready to march. But come, let me extend our Russian hospitality to you. Let me show you and your friends around our beautiful capital.
Well, it's very kind. I'd love to, but we can't. We've got to go to the British Embassy, you see, to make arrangements for the broadcast. We're doing it tonight, and there's not much time. The ambassador's waiting, and he's got the kettle on. And...
Nonsense, come. Have a lightning tour of Moscow. But first, we drink.
Taxi!
Come, little fat one. More vodka. Fill up your glass.
No, we shouldn't, really. The broadcast.
To the great British people.
Skål!
Down the hatch.
Bottoms up. Right, that's it. Must go now. The broadcast. The ambassador's waiting for us. It'd be nice knowing you. Goodbye. Thank you very much.
Oh, blimey.
Good health.
Cheers.
Chin Chin, come on. Let's go. We've got half an hour before the broadcast.
Edith Summer!
No, we haven't got time.
Cheerio.
Good luck.
All the way down.
William Penn the Younger!
Mr. Molotov!
Ned Kelly!
Skull!
Round the bend.
Heads back. Well, good night, the British Embassy now, and...
Mr. Gidskillen and I in Bevan!
Well, we'd better get another crate in. She hasn't started on the back benches yet. Is to Wilson, Keppel and Betty.
Cheers! Down she goes!
Hold on, where is everybody?
Up here, comrade!
Well, don't just sit there, move the table and help me up.
But comrade, what about the broadcast?
More drink! Russian Garkon, more vodka.
There is no more. You have drunk it all.
I know where we can get some. The British Embassy. The ambassador's still waiting for us. Bring the waiter as well. He can play the ballad, the bullet, the ballad, the banjo. Come on, Ninotchka. Knees up, Mr. Molotov. Knees up, Mr. Molotov. And to the Kremlin you must go. E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-
embassy. This is where the ambassador lives.
Are you sure?
Of course. There's his bike parked outside. Ring the bell.
Good evening.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Where's the pledge? Where's the pledge? I'll sign it. I'm seeing horrible things.
Oh, don't be like that.
Who are you?
I'm the British ambassador, I am.
Oh, sorry you've been troubled. We're all Chinese.
Oh, no, stop messing about. I know who you are. You're the Hancock's half-hour party. I've been expecting you. You're late. Your broadcast starts in 5 minutes' time.
Never mind about that. Where's the booze?
I'm not telling you. You've had enough. You've been drinking, you have. You've been drinking vodka.
Why, can you smell it?
Smell it? You burnt the paint off the door. Now go on, get down to the theatre. The audience is down there waiting for you to start.
Yeah, we're not going to you give us a drink.
I haven't got no drink. Oh, why don't you go away and leave me alone? I'll get into terrible trouble if you don't do that broadcast. This will get back to London. They'll make me hand in my briefcase and umbrella. Because I'll tell you something, they've been waiting for a chance to get rid of me.
Good, let's have a drink.
I'll get the sack because they can't transfer me anymore. Every other country's refused to have me because they don't like me. I was in 13 different countries last year. I hadn't been with any of them for more than a week before they broke off diplomatic relations.
Perhaps they'll give you a job in England.
No. I've been in all the ministries. They all got fed up with me. There's only the South Eastern District Gas Board left and they threatened to go electric if I set foot in there. Oh, go on. Please go down to the theatre and do that broadcast.
No, we're hungry. Give us something to eat.
Oh, you do get on my nerves. You should have been here at tea time. I was expecting you. I stayed up all the night making the fairy cakes. Now, I've ate them all in me temper.
Well, what about some caviar?
I haven't got any.
Yes, you have. I can see it on the table, all those little round black things.
Oh, is that caviar?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been using it in my air gun. You live and learn, don't you?
Give us a drink.
Yes, we want a drink.
All right, then. But will you promise when you've had the drink, you'll go straight down to that theatre and do the broadcast?
Yes, we promise.
Right. You see that safe there, marked top secret important document?
Yes.
Here's the key. It's in there.
And here, in the great Bolshoi Theatre in the heart of Moscow, a great crowd of Russian dignitaries, plus the whole of the Soviet government, are all gathered here to witness this epoch-making broadcast, designed to further the aim of bringing cooperation, friendship, and lasting peace between our two countries. The house lights are dimmed, and a hush settles upon the 9,000 members of the audience as the great 200-piece Moscow Symphony Orchestra assembles, and the cast crawl onto the stage and lie in a heap under the microphone. The conductor picks up his baton, the massed musicians raise their instruments, and the thrilling strains of the overture echo through this vast auditorium.
We present comrades Tony Hancock, Bill Kerr, Sidney James, Kenneth Williams, and comradess Andre Melly in
Hancock's Half-Hourovich. evening, comrades. I'd like to start off with a little monologue. District Commissar Ivan was a hero, a great big fellow with
the... Say, why does Mr. Khrushchev wear red
one? No, we're not doing that one.
Sorry,
no.
What? Why did the chicken cross the road? Softly.
Because it couldn't walk hardly. Ha ha! Sit, quick.
How do you stop mad dogs barking in July?
Shoot them in June.
It's all over the Kremlin.
What is?
The roof.
Last night, all the buses stopped in Stalingrad.
Why?
To let the people get off.
I do not wish to know that. District Commissar Ivan was a hero. Well, so much for our goodwill broadcast. Complete silence for 30 minutes. There was an audience out there, wasn't there?
Yeah. I could hear them breathing.
Cool. We've had some bad audiences in our time, but this lot didn't even smile.
I know, they just sat there, looking at us. Of course, I blame the interpreters. The earphones weren't switched on.
Look, let's admit we failed. Let's catch the next plane home if they'll let us leave the country.
Ah, comrades, here you are.
Oh, well, lonely Notchka. I'm sorry they didn't like us.
Didn't like you? They loved you. The whole of Moscow is talking about you, how wonderful you were.
Hey?
They all say it was the finest tragedy Moscow has ever seen.
Yes, but...
It was so much more gloomy than that other play we had, Hamlet.
Well, there you are, if you will book that sort of rubbish.
Who was the author of your play? One of Shakespeare's later works, I suppose.
No, me, I wrote it. Mind you, there is a similarity in our style. Me, I'm more what you might call the bacon sort.
It was brilliant.
Yes, we're doing it at Stratford-upon-Avon when we get back.
But you can't leave now. They want you to stay and present your program at the Moscow School of Dramatic Tragedy.
No, I'd love to, but I can't. The old Vic wants me for a season, then I'm filming Richard III.
We'll pay you 20,000 rubles a week.
William, take a telegram.
Yeah?
To Sir Lawrence Oliver. Dear Larry, request you take over lead in Hancock's Half Hour, as from next week, and playing extended season in Moscow. Signed, Boris Hancock. Havodkas all round.
This has been Hancock's Half Hour, starring Kevin McNally with Kevin Eldon, Simon Greenwell, Susie Kane and Robin Sebastian. Incidental music was composed and orchestrated by Wally Stott and played by the BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Levon Parikian. The show, which was recorded, was written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson and produced by Ed Morrish and Neil Pearson.